We'd like to call the meeting to order. Can we have the Pledge of Allegiance, Mr. Frank Crawford?
Could everyone please rise and follow me facing the flag? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
There was no action taken in closed session. Next, we have the student representative to the Board of Trustees, Leticia Staples from Marysville High School. Leticia.
Okay. So this is from Marysville High School. And at the end of November, leadership put on the Battle Rally. Many positive comments were heard from the students. They really enjoyed the games as well as the staff participation. On the first, we had our winter ball. The ball was a success, and there are many happy students having fun with all of their friends. The decorations were very festive and a great start to the holiday season. At MHS, we do many events to give back to the community. This year, we have continued the following events: Care Home Cards, Angel Tree, and Adopt a Family. Care Home Cards is when students come and they write a Christmas card to an elderly person staying in the retirement home. This brings them holiday cheer to brighten up their day. Angel Tree and Adopt a Family allow for many young kids, we give them presents because they won't usually get them. And MHS has lots of staff and students bring them and donate them. Another event taking place is Cocoa and Cram. This is a Link Crew event that allows for freshmen to get help studying for their finals as well as have hot chocolate. Next month, we are looking forward to homecoming. That's all. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Leticia.
And on behalf of the board, Leticia, I'd like to thank you for being here this semester. It's flown by for us. I don't know about for you. But we'd like to present you with this plaque, and I'll read it so everyone here can see what it is that we're bestowing upon you. It says, "Thank you for your outstanding service to the Marysville Joint Unified School District Board of Trustees, serving as a student representative for the first semester of the 2018-19 school year. Your willingness to attend the board meetings to update the Board of Trustees on activities at the various school sites is greatly appreciated. Thank you so much for being a part of the board this semester."
Well, Leticia, I'd just like to say you've done a fantastic job, so thank you.
I'd like to echo that sentiment too.
Next, we have our school reports.
Let me jump in really quickly. I'm sorry. You've probably noticed there are a number of young folks in the audience who are freezing. So I think it might be best if we have them come and do a performance for us. Their teacher, Kendra Barrera, is here, and at special request from Mrs. Scott, they are here tonight to do a brief performance. Kendra.
Love. simply cannot hold. Is love alive? Is love alive? Is love alive? This is my winter song. December never felt so wrong. 'Cause you're not where you belong. Inside.
That was great. Thank you very much for coming tonight. Anything else, Dr. Starkey?
No, okay. Please go
on. So next we have our school report, South Lyndhurst High School. Mr. Jones?
Well, that's a tough act to follow.
Good luck, Mr. Jones.
Yes, thank you. Well, good evening, and thank you to the Board of Trustees for this opportunity to share South Lyndhurst High School with you this evening. I would like to state that we serve a population of students that are hungry for opportunity, but are in dire need of guidance, support, and encouragement. I tell my staff every single day that they have an extreme opportunity to make a big, huge difference in the lives of young adults who are at risk, and it's the greatest opportunity that anyone in this district could have. They are embracing the opportunity to be mentors, teachers, coaches, psychologists, therapists at times, and the list goes on and on. We wear many hats at South Lyndhurst. It is hard work, but we're eager to continue that good fight. I believe education is more than just academic achievement. I think it's about creating a culture that is family-oriented, that is built on relationships and trust, so that you can educate the whole child. Developing their character and social-emotional well-being allows a student to be able to focus on their academic achievement. I'd like to first begin this evening by showing you a short little video snapshot of the family atmosphere that we've created here at South Lyndhurst, where we're trying our very best to move at-risk kids to future leaders. Nope, let me go back.
Thank you.
As you can see in that video, our school-wide learner outcomes of academic achievement, transition, and character shine through. That is what we're about. Every decision that we make is based on those three elements. And we can hang our hat that every single day, we're going to continue to try to improve each one of those three areas. In 2018, we stand here at Change Program. In 2015-16, that was our last school report, and we've grown so much since then. But I think it's important before we take a look at 2018 that we take a step back and see where we've come from. In 2015, I look at that as year one. That's when we changed programs, combined the two continuation sites, and started at South Lyndhurst as one. In that year, we focused on culture, community, and system changes. In year two, we focused on our Boulder standards. We dug deep into our standards with Maria Nielsen, and we did our very best to identify those Boulder standards and create pacing guides for year three. In year three, which is in 2017-18, we took apart every aspect of our program as we prepared for our WASC self-study visit in the spring, and we got to understand our strengths as well as our weaknesses during that time. That really laid the foundation for our program. In 2018, this year, we've taken those strengths and weaknesses and we've dug a little bit deeper, and we're really focusing on instruction now, increasing the rigor and providing intervention to our students. I am pleased to announce that we received the full 6-year accreditation from that WASC process. We are fully accredited for 6 years through June of 2024. This is an amazing accomplishment for our students as well as our staff, because this puts our program on the same level as any other comprehensive high school. And what that means for our at-risk students is that they're used to being looked at as second class. And now they have the equal opportunity to graduate from our program and go to any other vocational program, college program, or military branch they see fit. The visiting committee also identified the following strengths that you see on the left-hand side of this slide, as well as areas of refinement that you see on the right side. One area of strength that I'd like to focus on is our community service. It says community partnerships on the left. Ever since 2015-16, when we combined sites, community service has been very important to our program. I believe firmly that what you put into your community is what you will become in the future. And our students have expanded those community service opportunities for our school this year as they've beat the pavement and met different people in the community. I'm proud to say that we've expanded those opportunities for all students. Examples would be that we have done 3 different cleanups in the old cemetery here in Marysville. We've also established a partnership with OPUD, which is Oliver's Public Utilities District, in which we're adopting one park in the community a month, and we're doing beautification projects with them. And also, I would like to highlight our opportunities within guidance as a strength and our focus on college and career readiness. The reason why I want to highlight that is because it is one of our goals to increase our A through G compliant courses that are available for our students, as well as offering potentially a Yuba College course on our campus in the fall so that we can open up more college pathways for our students. It's important to note that those growth items that we see on the right-hand side, the WASC committee made it very clear that they saw those pieces in action already on our campus, but only in pockets. So it's our job to see it through, that we consistently do those things across the board in all areas of our campus so they become strengths. This is our action plan for this year. Each one of those blue bulleted items of instruction, intervention, 21st century skills, social emotional supports, those are the growth items that WASC had identified for us. We created an action plan that you see in the red. The red are the bulleted items of action steps that we are taking this year to address those areas to try to move for improvement in each one. As far as instruction, we knew that we needed to increase rigor, and therefore we had to be more efficient and better in our lesson design each day, and our unit planning, which is our long-range unit planning for our lessons. In intervention, in the top left-hand corner, our Title I monies are being utilized and approved by our site council last year, as we planned ahead for this year, to add a staff member, our secondary student support specialist, that provides 4 different layers of intervention that I'll talk to you guys about in a moment. Also, a goal of ours is to provide what we call flex day intervention. Our goal is to provide one formative assessment every 2 weeks, so that way our students can get intervention the following school day. 21st century skills, again, if you remember back what I stated, the three elements of our school, one of them being transition, we feel it's very important that not only kids graduate, but they have a plan and they actually do something with that diploma. So 21st century skills, our staff determined that collaboration, communication, and critical thinking were key areas that we need to focus on this year. So therefore, in our lessons, we are incorporating those, as well as our early release Wednesday workshops. Social emotional supports, we are dealing with at-risk students. They need a lot of social emotional coping skills, and therefore we are reaching out to community members and building that into our school day so that they can receive those. After we developed that action plan, we said, okay, well, where are we gonna house all this hard work? So we determined that our Google Team Drive was a perfect platform for us. Every member on our campus has a file on this Team Drive. They update it constantly as they are working and completing their work. All of our data is housed in here. It has increased our communication on our campus within our PLC Wednesdays, as well as beyond the school day. And it's also increased our collaboration. This is an example of the lesson design with our instruction. We identified 6 areas in lesson design that the teachers are integrating in daily lesson planning, and then I am looking for during walkthroughs. These become talking points during our PLC Wednesdays, so we can keep that conversation alive of what things we're doing and what things we're not doing. On the right-hand side is an example of a teacher's unit plan that is within the Team Drive. It is focused on learning targets, assessments, and intervention. If you see there in the blue, that is a formative assessment. That's when it needs to be delivered. And the following day, you see flex day. That means intervention is happening directly the following school day. This is an example of those 21st century skills being used in the classroom. Collaboration, communication, and critical thinking. We have students, sometimes we group them, sometimes we partner them. But we do ask that they do not opt out, but they do all participate, and they work on those social skills. So you see kids using whiteboards, Chromebooks, etc. Our school is different than any other comprehensive school. When we have early release Wednesdays, we cannot just minimize our schedule and continue instruction as normal. We have to combine our afternoon sessions with our morning kids. Therefore, we have to have a completely different class list. So we use this as an opportunity, again, to educate the whole child. So we have created workshops for all of our students. We invite community members to come in and provide 21st century skills that are transition skills that makes them competitive in the job market, but also social emotional skills and coping skills also. And so you could see the 8 different workshops above. Every one of our students this semester have participated in every one of those. Robotics and coding, personal finance, college success, painting, that is therapeutic for a lot of our kids, positive relationships and stress management, anxiety, anger management. And the last one, I think, is a really neat one we added this year. This is called A Bite of Reality. Sierra Central came onto our campus and gave each of our students an app that they had to download. And they were given a situation and a name and a job and kids, and they had to go to the classrooms where our teachers became the merchants. And the merchants had to sell them items, and these kids had to go through and make wise decisions and purchases, then go down to the Sierra Central Credit Union room and get approved for their loans and pay their debts. So this was an eye-opening, bite-of-reality experience for these kids. We had John Cassidy on campus, 10 different people from Sierra Central Credit Union, and Harold Presley, a former Kings player, and they had great things to say about our kids' character and decision-making. This is an example of that flex day intervention. I just wanted to show you this because this is our math team. Mr. Lowe is on the top right corner, Mr. Underwood to the left. They teach the same content areas within the same class periods, and what they've done is they switched their kids on this flex day. So Mr. Lowe is teaching the above proficient and proficient kids, and he is pushing the rigor. He is extending these kids because they already got it. Mr. Underwood, he is teaching the below proficient kids and reteaching, and our secondary support specialist at the bottom there is giving one-on-one intense intervention, and it's proved to be real effective. Okay, and here you see, this is our student support specialist. She provides four different layers of intervention. Students can walk in and get help anytime they want, but she also has, and during our PLC Wednesdays, we talk about kids who struggle. And she creates a two-day schedule that kids go in during their non-class time to be able to get that in that second layer of reteach. Ms. Gardner is on the left. She's our student support specialist. Ms. Perez is our guidance counselor on the right. They both provide low-level social emotional supports on a daily basis. Our higher level need kids, we refer to a school psychologist that also shares with Lyndhurst and South Lyndhurst. And then we also lean on those other two resources you see there that are within the community. I am proud to also say, and this is one that I'm really proud of, is Ms. Perez has created a SMART goal for herself that every single kid that comes to our school has a personal academic plan. And that is, after they meet with me and I meet with every family that enrolls in my program, they go over to Ms. Perez and they collaboratively create a graduation plan. And from this graduation plan, every quarter it's updated and it's communicated back to the students of what they need to do and what goals did they already achieve. And this is uploaded in our team drive so that our teachers can see on the right-hand side what their transition goals are. Are they wanting to go to a two-year college? Are they wanting to go military? Because we have a built-in guidance period for 30 minutes every Thursday for them to create career action plans. This has really tremendously helped us in the number of students that have completed the financial aid process, but also our graduates. Here you see the slide of our financial aid. If you take a look, we had 35 students this year in 2018 start the financial aid process, and then 35 completed the financial aid process. This is students and parents. We did workshops, two different ones on campus, invited Yuba College out. If you look at the growth, though, if you look at 2016, we had 23 students and families start it, only 7 completed it. So again, I'm proud of the fact that we are teaching these students and families to follow through. Our suspension data is trending in the right direction. This is our total suspension days from 2015 to now. Again, keep in mind they are trending downwards, which is exactly what we want. As of right now, we have 27 total suspension days. If we duplicate this semester, next semester, we'll be right at the same spot that we were last year. Our graduation data is trending in the right direction. It's moving up. We had 44 graduates back in 2015-16, 69 in 2016-17, and then 69 again last year. Again, we're trying to be more efficient, refine the program, and get better and better. But like I told my staff in the last PLC meeting, we're not keeping the bar the same. We're going to keep on raising the bar. And ladies and gentlemen, that is it. So I want to say thank you again for the opportunity to share South Lyndhurst with you. I am very excited about where this program can go. And I'm going to keep pushing, and my staff is going to keep working hard. I'm going to open it up for any questions or comments.
Questions or comments from board members?
Comment.
Mr. Fleury?
Oh, comment.
Scott, sorry.
Mr. Jones, I would like to first tell you thank you so very much for your dedication and your hard work that you put into the students and to your program. I do like what you said about moving at-risk students to be future leaders. That's good that you give them something so positive to look forward to doing and to making them feel like they're a part of something, you know. So I've been at your school and visited on several occasions, and I see how they do connect with you and the comfort level that they do have with you and the trust that they have with you also. And I would just like to tell you, to commend you and tell you, keep up the good work. You're doing a wonderful job.
Thank you.
Well, first of all, I'm very proud you've gone through our system and
and you've done an amazing job. I've been on the campus. I live in that community right by your campus, and the community really appreciates you. They probably don't tell you that much, but the change, that is our most at-risk population. Those are the kids that get in trouble. This morning, you did a community service project for the Lions, and you loaded, 312 stockings for the preschools in the area. But the one thing I noticed your kids were talking, I've talked to them before, they trust you. It's not just a word that you throw out that means nothing. It's a word that you've earned by your actions that you can be trusted. And that's kids, they have told me that over and over again. You've done an amazing job out there, and you're a true asset to this district. And I just appreciate you, what you've done for those kids that some of them would not have had a chance. So thank you.
Well, thank you. I have to say I do have a really good team, and without every member of that team, I don't know that we would be able to have the growth and impact that we have right now. So thank you.
It takes a good leader to bring them together. Every team has to have a good leader, and you brought that team together.
So David, I would just like to say I really appreciate your mission of relationships and connections. So it's so important to try to build those relationships and connections, not only with the students, but the entire family. And very excited about working on the dual enrollment for next year with the community college. I think that's great for the kids. Very good. And any other comments?
I'd just like to say I've really enjoyed watching your growth with the program and how it's not only grown in size and numbers, but respect in the community. Mr. Lowe and you and the rest of your staff, please say hi for me. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
I think you did well following the dancers.
Oh.
Yeah.
Thank you. No dancing for me, though.
So next is our annual organizational meeting of the Board of Trustees. We're going to turn it over to Dr. Starkey.
Thank you very much. As you will remember, once a year we do the reorganization of the board, and so I'd like to remind the board of the process, since we only do it once a year. So let's start with the fact that if you nominate someone to be an officer, there is not a need for a second to nominate a person to stand for election. After each nomination, the board member nominated will accept or decline. A motion is not made to close the nominations. And finally, after all of the nominations have been made and the person nominated accepts or declines the nomination, then a motion for the first nominated candidate will take place. The first nomination that receives the majority vote in the affirmative is elected to the position. That's if we have more than one person nominated. And no further votes will be taken on the remaining nominations. With that, we will begin with the election of president, and I will open the floor for nominations for president at this time.
I would like to nominate Randy Rasmussen as president. He's done a great job leading this board.
Mr. Fleury has nominated Randy Rasmussen for the office of president. Mr. Rasmussen, do you accept or decline the nomination?
Accept.
Are there any other nominations? Mr. Rasmussen has been nominated to serve as president. Do I have a motion for Mr. Rasmussen?
I move to accept the nomination.
Frank Crawford nominates Mr. Rasmussen for the office of president. Do I have a second?
Second.
Mr. Jeff Boom seconds the motion. So it has been moved and seconded that Mr. Rasmussen serve as the president of the board. Those in favor of the motion, please raise your hand. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So there's no need to ask if there are any opposed. So with that, Mr. Rasmussen, let me hand you back the gavel.
Thank you, Dr. Starkey. So now I have to follow that. You've done a great job there, Dr. Starkey. Okay, so next we have our vice president. We would like to open up the nominations for vice president.
I would like to nominate Mr. Crawford for vice president.
Mr. Crawford? nominations for, oh wait, excuse me, Mr. Crawford, do you accept or decline?
I feel like Joe Biden. I accept. I don't know why I said that.
Are there any other nominations for Vice President? If not, is there a motion for Mr. Crawford? I guess I better just read this. Okay, we have a motion by Mr. Allison. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Fleury. It is moved and seconded that Mr. Crawford serve as Vice President of the Board. Those in favor of the motion, please raise your hand. Seven yes. Well, I guess I forgot I was supposed to count that one too. Huh? Thank you, Dr. Sturkin. Next, we have the position of clerk. Is there a nomination for the position of clerk?
I would like to nominate Susan Scott.
We have a nomination of Mrs. Scott. Mrs. Scott, do you accept or decline? Mrs. Scott accepts. Is there any other nominations for Ms. Scott, or excuse me, for clerk? Any other nominations for clerk? Mrs. Scott has been nominated. Oh, is there a motion? Do I have a motion for Ms. Scott? We have a motion by Mr. Allison. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Davis. It is moved and seconded that Ms. Scott serve as clerk to the board. Those in favor of the motion, please raise your hand. Seven yes. Looks like I got one more try to get it right. Our next position is trustee representative to the Special Education Council. Do we have a nomination? We have a Mr. Fleury, would you accept or decline? Mr. Fleury accepts. Is there any other nominations for trustee representative? If not, is there a motion?
I move to accept, excuse me, I will yield to you.
We have a motion to accept by Mr. Davis. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Allison. It is moved and seconded that Mr. Fleury serve as trustee representative to the Special Education Council. All in favor of the motion, please raise your hand. Seven yes. Next, our item number two, we set time, date, and place of the regular meetings.
Okay, I'd like to make a motion to correct the list of the 2019 board meeting dates listed on the special reports. I recommend accepting the 2019 board meeting dates listed with the following amendments: cancel the December 10th, 2019 meeting and add December 17th, 2019. And that has to do with Dr. Todd would be better to explain. It has to do with the voting, the elections office.
It's a new regulation which allows the clerk to certify the election results. It gives them a little more time, especially in years of election, and it's a close race, and they need to take a little extra time to count those votes. So it allows for the certification of the county vote prior to the seating of the board during the annual organizational meeting.
So we have a motion to approve the time, dates, and place of the regular meetings with the amendments that Mr. Boom had alluded to. Is there a second?
Wait, just for clarification, we are canceling Christmas Eve, right?
Santa is still coming.
Okay. No, I'm not going to make that one.
No, we just need to move the meeting 1 week later to meet the new requirement.
It's for 2019, not 18.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Davis. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. 7 yes. The appoint superintendent as secretary to the Board of Trustees. Is there a motion?
Move to approve.
Motion by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by, was that Mr. Fleury? Second by Mr. Fleury. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. 7 yes. Motion carries. Authorize superintendent and designees to sign warrants, contracts, and other documents. Is there a motion?
Move to.
I yield.
Motion by Mr. Davis to approve. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Crawford. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. 7 yes. Motion carries. Next, we have comments from the board members. Ms. Scott.
I would like to, first of all, get a chance to say that I had a wonderful opportunity to go over to across the street to see the performance and see more of what you all had a chance to see tonight. And I was just like in awe to know that that is a product of our school district. And it does make me so, it made me feel so good. I thought, well, I didn't see anyone else there, and you guys are probably there, but I thought, you've got to see this. And I thought, if they can't come, can you bring it to them? So to Mrs. Barrera, Tony Veneer, to the staff at MCAA, and for all those students that did that wonderful performance, I really applaud you all. I know that it was a lot of work, and you guys did an outstanding, outstanding job. Also, the fact that we attended the California School Board Association meeting this past week, and another nice experience. There was a lot of things that they brought to our attention, and I was feeling pretty good because most of the things that they brought, a lot of them, the workshops that I did have a chance to attend, we're doing those things. So that's another plus for us. So to all of us, you know, continue to do the good work that we all do. We're all here because we know that we're serving the students. And, you know, they might be here one day doing what we're doing. So it's up to us to set a good example for them. And I would also like to say, last of all, happy holidays to you all. And we'll see you next year.
Thank you, Mr. Davis.
Yes, I'd like to just basically support what Ms. Scott just said about the performance. If they had a proper stage, it'd probably be as close to a college level performance as I've ever seen, from costumes to choreography to the music. And the place was packed. I was there Sunday evening, and the pride of the folks there, I mean, it was an enthusiastic crowd. And so those that may poo-poo this type of activity and dedication, I hope get a chance to attend one of these presentations because it shows a lot of heart and a lot of hard work. And I'm certainly hoping with the improvements we're seeing put together for the South Auditorium will benefit not only the Academy, but also the rest of the community, as well as the high school. But it, to me, it really shines a light on a deficiency in the school district for an appropriate auditorium for our students to shine and for the parents to shine with their students. But I also want to throw in my best wishes for everybody's holiday. I know everybody's had a hard, it's been a tough fall with the fires and all the emergencies we've had to deal with. I just really appreciate the flexibility and the durability of the staff of the district to cope with whatever happens. And certainly wish everybody a nice break. Thank you.
Mr. Allison.
I have no comment, but I want you to know that I totally 100% agree with what you two said.
Mr. Boom. Mr. Fleury.
Yes, at the CSBA, we really enjoyed it. There was a lot of learning there, a lot of dedication. There's a lot of dedicated people in the state. They say that sometimes about 50% of the board members don't really go through their packet, but 50% of them are dedicated. In this district, I think we have some very dedicated board members. They talked about leadership and trust. And that's very important. You have trust from the district down, from the board, the district administration, and our principals. We have some outstanding principals and leaders in this district that are trusted, that the kids trust them, and that's what's important is the relationships. Without trust, you cannot have good relationships. And that's what I came away from CSBA. Also, as we Jeff found out there was a strike there, and the strikers were right below his window chanting all night, San Francisco strong. And that was quite an experience. I think that's the second time we've had a strike and we were down there. But it was a good conference. If we take back now, not just a conference, we need to bring back what we did, what we put and implemented through the board in our district, because it's very important.
Thank you, Mr. Crawford.
It seems so long ago since we had the last meeting. I told everybody I accepted through Mr. Bob Harlan, the president of United Way, about 3 months ago to give a report on United Way's progress and to serve as a liaison to the schools. And little did I know then, my big concern then was whether I could drag these old bones through the Elves Run for another 5K or not. Well, the 5K was canceled, and the campfire, as we all know, came upon us. And the request from United Way became a whole different entity. The first request came from the Humane Society of Butte County, and that was through Mr. Harlan, and he asked if I could get some people together along with myself and go to the Yuba Sutter Fairgrounds and walk dogs. So we did that, even with the air quality being, I think at one particular day, I remember being out there was, I'll never forget, the CNN said it was the second worst in the history of air quality days. And I was wondering what I was doing in it with a German Shepherd dragging me around the fairground. But I made it through there, and I have no regrets. I also had the opportunity to host a family, I don't know why I got so nervous about this, but they were just as nervous to come. They had to evacuate from their home in Berry Creek, or a little distance away. Fortunately, their home didn't burn down, but I was constantly checking with some a good friend of mine, Chris Hale, with the battalion chief of Cal Fire, and they were worried constantly every day and night. And my grandkids, who lived with me, and my son and his significant other got along great with the family. Ironically, it was their dogs and my dogs and cats. They went crazy, you know, constantly breaking up fights, not with the people. And they went out of their way to, it was a humbling experience for me. When they found out their home was not burnt to the ground, it was bittersweet just driving back up there with them. And I've got friends for life. I have a closeness with Paradise, California, for the simple reason, probably many of you are, I'm a CSU graduate. I won't tell you the early 70s, but used to run up to Paradise and the Skyway many times and have fun with my friends. And I lost a few close ones in that one. Other than that is my United Way update. I hope Bob's happy. Thank you for listening to my rambling. That's it.
I'd also like to just comment on the CSBA conference. It kind of shows the strength of our board that wants to go and try to learn to become better board members. So it's a lot of great information, and to be able to learn, it's just like what we're providing a lot of professional development for our teachers and our staff. We need our professional development also to become better members. Secondly, I'm, as Mr. Davis says, I'm excited to see us putting in about $300,000 into that South Auditorium to make it a much nicer place for a venue to be able to perform. I had the opportunity earlier in the year to go to one of the plays, and it's amazing how many people they can fit on that little stage. And secondly, then last week they had the strings performing there, and it's amazing all the violins that MCA has, and they were able to squeeze 55 folks onto that stage to be able to play their instruments, and just did a fabulous job. The other thing regarding the campfire, certainly some of our staff members were directly affected by that. Many of our people that were certainly affected indirectly. One of the things, so we do have just a small comment that we would like to try to send out. One of the changes I would like to have on the document, though, is the opportunity for all board members to have their name on this letter that I'm going to read. The Board of Trustees would like to offer our deepest compassion to you and your families in the wake of the most recent disaster. Our thoughts are with you, and may you be granted strength and comfort during the most difficult times. And again, I would just like to have all of our board members have the opportunity to sign that also. So, with that, opportunity for employee organizations to address the board. Marysville Unified Teachers Association.
Hello. So, first of all, of course, I am not Erica. She couldn't be here this evening, and I just happened to be right across the street grading finals, so she was like, could you go? And I'm like, no, I can't walk across the street, couldn't possibly do it. And so I came over this evening to attend the meeting and to offer a couple of messages from UTA. And first off, I get to start, though, with a shameless plug. If she's going to ask the vice president, who also happens to be the academic decathlon coach, to come speak, might as well use my opportunity. My team just realized a couple of days ago that we are less than 2 months from competition, so to plan early, the Yuba County Academic Decathlon competition is going to be Saturday, February 2nd, and it will be at Marysville High School. And our county coordinator, Amy Knorr, at the County Office of Ed, I'm sure if anybody would like to be a judge that day for speech, for interview, be a room proctor, even if you would like to just attend a super quiz to see how exciting that is, you get to see like the high school version of Jeopardy on steroids. And so if anybody would like to join us, Marysville High School will be taking on Lyndhurst High School and Wheatland High School, and whichever team is victorious will go on to state competition in March. And so now that I got my shameless plug out of the way, the Marysville Unified Teachers Association and our exec board and our rep council would like to wish everybody, all of our teachers, the school board, all of the employees and personnel at the district office, the happiest of holidays. And we hope everybody and their families, their loved ones, will have a prosperous and peaceful new year. And everybody enjoy the 3 weeks that we have off. Thank you.
Thank you. Operating Engineers, Local Union Number 3, California School Employees Association Number 326 and 648, Association of Management and Confidential Employees, Supervisory Unit. Public comments. We do have a public comment. Comments are limited to the maximum of 3 minutes per speaker, 20 minutes total time for public input on each item per board policy, board bylaw, 9323. The Ralph M. Brown Act prevents the Board of Trustees from responding to these comments with the exception of clarifying questions. We have Nicole Faro. I do want to just point out, if you would, when you come up, if you would state your name for the record and come to the mic. And we do have a little clock here that will be able to keep an eye on for you. Thank you.
Okay. Hi, my name's Nicole Olsgaard-Farrow. I'm a little nervous here as an advocate for my son and other students like him in the STARS program we have here in Marysville. He attends the Kynoch STARS program, and I've just noticed some instances with him and interacting and things where I think there could be room for improvement. So I just thought that I would bring that to the board my concerns and experiences, and you can take what you want from it and go from there. So my son was, he was given a strike and then another strike, and I got a phone call in October saying that he had two strikes and like a paper with a bunch of chicken scratch on it of all of these complaints about how he wouldn't stop, told to stand in line twice, he wouldn't stop playing with the ball. And so when I said two strikes, the director of the STARS program said, oh yeah, there's one here, we can't read it, don't know what the date is, and the person that wrote it isn't here anymore, so we can't explain to you what happened, which I think is a poor manner of record when it comes to discipline. And I also had an experience just recently where he got in trouble for pushing a girl that he says pushed him too. Because she fell back and hit her head on a bench, it was recommended that he was removed from the program. And I got that call at 5 o'clock on a Wednesday from Miss Janelle, who's an employee there. The following day, Bentley went to the STARS program, and when he got there, she said that he needed to go to the office. And he asked her why, and she said, well, just because, you're gonna be gone for a minute, you'll be right back. She walked him down, told them that he was removed, they needed to call his parents, and left him at the office. Not only did she lie to him, but we never even got an actual thing saying, okay, we recommended it, and Bentley's being removed from the program because he pushed a girl who he says pushed her back. There's also been incidents where, they tried to say that Bentley has behavior problems in school when I went to the disciplinary office here where I was directed to start at. And I actually had a parent-teacher conference with my son at 7:45, or with his teacher at 7:45 that morning, who said nothing about that. She did say that he needs a little more extra attention and that she just redirects him simply and he listens to task. I feel like the program should be more oriented in communicating with the parents, because we're a team, we're trusting them to help mold our kids and teach them to be good members of society when we're working full time. And I understand that it's a volunteer program, but I do feel like that there should be discipline actions, like taking recess away or putting
Ms. Farrow, thank you very much, but where time is limited. It would be my recommendation to maybe give Dr. Starkey a call and to come in and maybe have a sit-down discussion with her. But we are limited to only the 3 minutes for the public comment. So thank you very much. So if you would like, even right after the meeting, Dr. Starkey would be happy to give her your card and you guys could have a meeting. Oh, okay. Next we have the superintendent's report.
Thank you, and a special thank you to Ashley Vetti and David Jones for joining cabinet for the last couple of months and for being here at the board meetings. Two very talented folks who have come up through the ranks here, and so very proud to have them here and to see them continuing to do so well. So thank you for your input and for being part of the team. In front of you, you should have a flyer for those of you who were not at the December 6th meeting with the Yuba County Office of Education, but I want you to be sure to have the opportunity to mark your calendar for February 7th. They are having a second meeting, and it's going to be the latest trends among the youth. It's presented by Clark Morrow from the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department, and it's there in your booklet. This booklet was also handed out, and for those, again, who weren't there, it's for your reference. Dr. Ravelis has compiled a lot of research on student safety and security. Because it's a fun time of year, we have more fun. If you would like to go down to the Golden One Center in Sacramento on January 4th, Siobhan Matthews, the principal at Marysville High School, just informed me that they will be playing Yuba City High School. So that will be on January 4th. I don't know the time, but if you call Siobhan, I'm sure she can fill you in on the details, or I can get those for you if you're interested in possibly attending. And then finally, happy holidays. It's hard to believe it's rolled around and Christmas is here, and next thing you know, we'll be signing up for graduation. So have a very happy holiday and a happy new year.
Same to you. Thank you.
So, Dr. Starkey, are we also having the routine restricted maintenance act?
Yes, we are. And you know that.
You want to roll that?
My
down?
Report, my part was done. But actually, I have one more piece to throw in there. Mr. Rasmussen did ask me to share with the board the field trip policy for schools. And although it's not a lot different, what we have done is removed a layer of approvals. So site principals now approve the field trips, as they always have. Once they come to the district office, they're done. I mean, we do not oversee those field trips. If the principals have gone through the rationale that teachers have provided for them, they then just have to arrange the transportation and make sure that if they're driving, that they meet all of the requirements for those field trips. The out-of-state and overnight field trips will continue to come to the board for your approval, but there is no need for Ed Services or Mike Hodson's office to approve the insurance. That's all included in there now. So it's a more streamlined process. Principals can approve and go forth and enjoy. And so with that, we have the greatly anticipated.
Drum roll.
Drum roll, please.
Mr. Barnett.
Quarterly report from Mr. Barnett.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the board, Dr. Starsky. Thank you for having me this evening. Today we're going to go over, before you will see a list, you'll see the deferred maintenance. And I want to apologize for getting that to you guys late. You didn't have a chance to look at that beforehand, but at the end here, I'll be able to answer any questions you might have. So today, since the last 4 months, work orders, you might notice that during the summertime on the last presentation, we had a lot more outstanding work orders, and that was due to summertime's our time to get projects done thing. So you can see that, you know, in the last 4 months, there was approximately 1,600 work orders, that of which 1,607 have been completed. So now is the time where we start playing catch up on the work orders after summer. Some of the projects completed in the last 4 months, you'll see a lot of it's routine maintenance. Just kind of some security, fencing, things like that, some drainage, just stuff that we got ready for before the winter season hits. You know, here is the another project we kind of took on. We were looking at some of our properties that are vacant, and we've gone around and kind of moved some of the homeless camps out of there because they were setting up shop and kind of causing a ruckus out there. But you can see we've cleaned up. This is the Hamilton Smartsville property, which we got cleaned up. Some of the deferred maintenance dollars that we put towards in the maintenance department, we've had to go through. We've noticed there's a big need and a safety issue with a lot of trees out there and the canopies being really heavy. You can see in the center picture here of that cypress, and there's a lot of dead limbs in there. A lot of these trees are being cleaned up now using our deferred maintenance dollars. They've gone years without being addressed. So these are not even some of the worst ones we've come across, but we're in the process of cleaning that up district-wide. Some other projects we took on in the last 4 months was doing some drainage and riprap projects over at Ella Elementary. This was a flooding zone where mud was being tracked in and out of the classrooms, and we addressed that there as well. Here's a picture of the Yuba Feather sod irrigation project that we were talking about during the last presentation that was finished up. Again, we're continually to look for energy efficiency measures. This is Yuba Feather. We've changed all the exterior lighting to LED lighting as well. Added some new drainage at Yuba Gardens for the kitchen staff. We're noticing that this was another problem area. We've addressed that and taken care of. And over at Arboga, we noticed that there was some security issues over there with the parking lot, so we had the maintenance team go out there and install this fence along the side to make sure cars aren't driving onto the sidewalk. So that moves us on to some of the current facilities projects. As many of you might have seen, we've finished up the MCAA new classroom addition over there. It's being fully functional. It's been closed out. So I know they're real happy to have that. You know, we have the Lyndhurst Culinary Project. We went ahead and went out to our bid walk on December 6th. Bids are due on January 3rd, and we'll hopefully award that lowest contract January 22nd board meeting. Edgewater, this is kind of a complex project, but you'll notice that on the design, we've kind of came to the conclusion of this is how the layout's gonna be. We've worked with the site administrator along with Mr. Hodson, architects and engineers, and feel this will be the best suited layout for this project. You can see that, you know, the next thing is we have a meeting December 20th where I'll go down with DSA and we're gonna go through and make sure that this project gets pushed through. We have Marysville High School Ag Mechanics. So November 16th, we did our bid walk, and on the 6th, we did the bid opening, and we're hoping to award the lowest bidder during this meeting and bring that up later on here. Marysville High School Auditorium, we are entering the construction phase on that one, so that's off and running. So currently, all facilities projects are kind of off the ground at this point. Future Tier 1 projects, that's the facilities master plan list that you guys have before you. Very detailed, it's updated. We've moved a lot of the projects that were in the completed off to the list. So everything you see there, whether it says pending, means that we're probably awaiting some type of approval, whether it be an estimate or something like that. If you see it in progress, it means that there's boots on the ground and something is actually in motion on that project. So with that, if you have any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them for you.
Any way you could get it printed a little larger?
One of the questions I had was on the South Auditorium. It certainly sounds like that came in way under the projected cost. And so I wondered if, how did you do that?
Well, honestly, there was some discrepancies. The contractor didn't review the specs and plans completely and missed out on part of the HVAC controls aspect and the fire alarm aspect component of it. Fortunately for us, unfortunately for him, it's a binding contract that he signed and bid on. We gave him the opportunity once it was identified that these things were missing, and the contractor insisted that he wanted to move forward and stand by his bid. So that's where we get our low bid on for that one.
Well, I really appreciate you pursuing the most efficient way to move forward on that, because, the board has had this as a focus area for quite some time. And so I know your involvement with it, knowing the architects, knowing the folks that are available to bid on it, are legitimate. And so the district is going to save quite a bit of money on this project that certainly can be used elsewhere. So thank you very much.
Absolutely, you're welcome.
Travis, I would just like to say that when we're visiting the schools, we can see the results of the work that your team has done or your crew has done, our staff. And not only can we see it, but the principals are always so excited to take us out and to show us the work, and they're very, very excited, So you've done everything in a very, very timely fashion. As far as I can see, we go once and then there's some project that needs to be done and go back and it's complete, So thank you so very, very much for helping our school district to look great.
Absolutely.
Travis, I did have a question. The stage there the stage extension in the South Auditorium was brought to my attention that was built by volunteers of MCAA. Is that accurate?
Yes, sir.
Hopefully, I'm sure you have went in or our folks have went in to make sure structurally that is something that we're okay with.
We've gone through, we've sent a maintenance team in there. Obviously, they're not architects or engineers, but they've looked at the structural integrity of that, and it's built pretty sturdy. So just from going and kicking the tires, so to speak, it's pretty solid.
Well, to be blunt, is it code? I'm sorry to throw that at you.
There's a gray area, as it is a temporary addition and it is not something that's fixated. So being that it can be taken down, it is to code.
Thank you.
Right. I do think they've done a fine job on some of the things that they've done, at MCAA and that. So Yeah, I'm just sure that we probably checked that.
It wasn't a knock on MCAA, so please, no, not at all. Don't call me at home.
Yeah, and you know, and I do, I want to say thank you to our leadership team, because they've also added an addition to our HVAC team, which will be bringing on a new hire December 17th. So a lot of the HVAC issues around the district, we'll be able to hit them in more of an expedient manner instead of having them push back. So that's very much appreciated from our HR and our assistant soup and our superintendent for providing that for our district, because it's going to help out immensely for our response times.
Great. Travis, I'd also like to say thank you for getting this prepared. It was my understanding that we thought this was going to be on the agenda in a month or two. You found out yesterday morning that it was going to be on today's. And you did a lot of work and not a lot of time to get prepared for this, so thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Must have been up all night. You really did a great job. You really did.
Any other comments or questions? Thank you again.
All right, thank you.
Next, we have the approval of minutes for November 13, 2018.
Move to approve.
We have a motion to approve by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Davis. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any noes? Any abstentions?
Mr. Boom.
One abstention, six yes. One abstention, Mr. Boom. Motion carries. Next, we have the consent agenda. Are there any items that board members would like to have pulled from the consent agenda? If not, is there a motion?
Motion to approve the consent agenda.
Motion to approve by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second? Second by Ms. Scott. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Seven yes. Motion carries. Next we have new business, buildings and grounds. A bid award, Marysville High Ag Mechanics Modernization Project number 8159. Is that Mr. Hodson or Mr.?
Sure. We're bringing to the board a little bit late in that. We opened up bids on the 6th. We didn't have a chance to do the full write-up. The actual company that was the low bidder was American River at $1,544,000. And so we'd ask the board to approve that, and then we can move forward on the AgMech program.
Any questions or comments?
Is that within the projected budget for that project?
It was the, remember, it's the architectural estimate was about $1.6 million, so this is just under that. We will additionally and separately be doing the welding booths and some other ancillary equipment, but we thought in the interest of time, it was important to get this facility itself worked on. That's going to take a lot longer lead time, and then we'll separately come back and put in the welding booths and those things. So that will add to the cost ultimately.
One quick comment, this is going to be a great addition. I've had a lot of parents asking me over the last couple of years why we don't have more stuff like this. And thank you for putting this together. I mean, this is something that's been long overdue, especially in this area where ag is so big, and it's going to really fit in well. It's going to give the kids a great opportunity. Thank you.
And I deserve no credit at all. This is Jamie and Travis and Siobhan and the superintendent really just drove this. I just found the parade to walk in front of.
Thank you. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Davis. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Next we have business services, number one, 2018-19 first interim budget. Mr. Hodson.
I almost threw mine away.
What the heck?
Merry Christmas. Can I say that? Yeah, I can. I'm old enough.
Members of the board, thank you. I'd like to talk through the first interim presentation for you. I will tell you that initially Romero and I were working on doing this choreographed into music, but then we realized we already had a dancing routine tonight.
Yeah,
so
well, please do.
I'm just going to do this one straight, I think, in the interest of everybody's sanity. So this is the first interim report. It's one of several mandatory reports that we bring to you each year. Okay. It's really a chance to update where we are fiscally this year from where we started with our budget. I look at this one as kind of an opportunity to find out if you didn't catch something. And there's a couple things we'll highlight that just changed, really. We do our assumptions based on the May revision that the governor provides. And as you know, in state, just like the federal law, the governor's proposal is just that, and the legislature will do what they wish. And in this case, they made some changes, and you'll see that. There's also some changes just through the nuances of carryover and some deliberate decisions that we've made, and that has affected us a little bit as well. So we'll talk through those. We'll talk about the trade-off that the LCFF and one-time money swap that the legislature instilled, which I think ultimately is a good thing in our multi-year projection. And then we can talk about the COPs a little bit as well. So I'll go straight to the report itself, and on page 14, you'll see the general fund report, and I'll just highlight a couple of things that I think are worthy of the board's attention. The first are the two green arrows. You'll see the general purpose revenue, or our LCFF revenue, is up. It's not up quite as much as we would have thought, because the enrollment wasn't quite as high as we thought, but ultimately it's still a net. And this is reflective of that change I mentioned at the unaudited actual. So the state legislature decided to take away about $1.5 million of one-time money, but added what netted out to be about $500,000 of ongoing. And again, short-term 1 year, that's obviously a loss, but long-term, we'd much rather have that as ongoing money, and then they reset the Prop 98 guarantee. So that is ultimately a good news. Below that, you'll see some changes in yellow. Certificated salaries is down, not so much because they're down, but when we budget to the sites, we give sites the money categorizes for salaries, because mostly that goes towards sub-costs. As they take that money and move it out, then that will get changed into whatever it is they're going to buy. You might see, for example, classified salaries. When they buy paras and the like, then those dollars get swapped from certificated to classified. You'll also see increases in both books and supplies and other operating expenses. All told, that's about a $1.8 million swing. That is both because of the money that's coming that the sites are using, and then also the carryover. Remember that when we come to you with the estimated actuals, we assume that all the dollars are going to be spent by the end of the year, because the year is still ongoing. When we come back to you with the unaudited actuals in September, we then have an actual snapshot in time, and that creates a bunch of money typically that washes out to the bottom line, and then we give that back to the sites, and so then now they're spending that again. So those numbers have gone back up. You also see a $1.5 million increase under the other outgo. That was for the 2006 COPs. We took the opportunity to prepay those. They were callable in this year, and that will ultimately save us about $150,000 or $200,000 in interest over the next several years. It didn't make any sense to leave that money on the credit card, so to speak, when we had the opportunity to pay it off. And then, as I mentioned, there's a lot of large magnitude changes, but I'm going to highlight there at the bottom, you see the ultimate fund balance. That is from our projected budget right now. And on this next slide here, I'm going to overlay this is from the budget that I brought you in June. And so our projected 18-19 budget, if you look to the fund balance, about $5 million, almost 26.6, and that is essentially exactly where we say we are now. So a whole bunch of magnitude movements to put us right back about where we thought we were. This is the multi-year projection. You'll see starting from left to right, current year, and then the next two. And the thing I'd like to bring out here, I've added the 18-19 budget, again, when we did not know that the legislature was going to make a change on us. And so you can see that in the out years, where initially I'd come back and said that by year three we were going to have a structural deficit of about $600,000, we are now currently showing a structural surplus of about $800,000. So that's obviously a good news story. So with that, if you follow the news at all, the economy, in fact, even just this morning, UCLA revised their forecast down. They're now saying that next year will be about a 2% growth, and the year after that will be about a 1% growth. And so as we slow, a lot of our assumptions become become questionable, to be flat honest. Sort of a tale of two cities. I took two headlines, one from back in the spring when once again it was a case of, you know, the governor had underestimated or under-projected, and then revenues were higher. Well, come October, they missed expectations, and in such a magnitude that when November's numbers come out, it is quite possible that this year we will actually be under the governor's revenue estimates. So there's a rainy day fund. There's a couple other, they recertified Prop 98. I don't think the sky will fall, but it does as we go forward. The much discussed and much forewarned potential for slowdown is certainly upon us. And so
how much of a drop, what would be the worst case scenario there? That I find that a little troubling.
I'm sorry, my hearing.
What would be the worst case scenario? My fault. How bad could it get?
Well, it's hard to say, obviously.
I'm asking you to look in the future.
Well,
you're right.
I think the really scary part is that California, for better or for worse, has made the decision to not fund schools and other things with property taxes that are typically very stable, and instead the big three, and the biggest single one is individual income tax. And so we are sort of a feast or famine state. In the past handful of years, that's been great, but of course, when the nation gets a cold, California gets a fever, right? And so that is bad. The bright side is that under the Prop 98 guarantee, and even when you go back to the 2007 downturn, it was really ugly, but the Prop 98 guarantee stays static. And so they may do some deferrals, they'll do some other things, but ultimately they will still owe us that money. And the board, I think, in its wisdom, has not just gone as so many other districts have. I get an email update every single day and of headlines from around the state with different districts. And there's not a day that goes by, there's not a headline about some district that it's declaring themselves in some significant trouble. I am recently elected to the Penn Valley Board. We're looking at about $500,000 deficit on a program that's $4.5 million. And they just kind of go, oh, I don't know. So we are in a good position here to weather whatever would come our way.
Thank you for answering my question. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, Sacramento, I guess, is having a heck of a time with their budgets, the Sacramento Unified School
District. Sac City made some horrible deals. And
but just a quick comment. I mean, going forward, it's going to be interesting with a new governor coming in, and he's being pulled in 8,000 different directions. Everybody's got a project for him. Everybody wants money from him. And hopefully he stands strong, because they're saying that we have all this huge surplus, which we don't, because we have tons of unfunded liabilities.
Correct.
In this state. So I don't understand how they can say they have a surplus. They haven't even funded the retirement plans. So it's going to be interesting moving forward, and it's going to, I mean, optimistically cautious going forward, because Gavin Newsom's just being shredded by his people, everybody wanting money. So. Be interesting to see what happens.
It's very insightful.
So, Mr. Hodson, I was down at the CSBA conference. I went to one of the sessions. Prop 51 for facilities, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it seems as though that, you know, years ago voters passed that and said, yes, we're going to do it. But the state is just not selling those bonds, and there's like $9 billion sitting out there to sell, which that money could be going to our facilities. So kind of hoping maybe our new governor can make a little twist on that to try to release some of those bonds and get some funding. Mm-hmm. So
can he legally do that?
I'm sorry?
Can he do that?
Can the new governor?
Yeah.
He certainly can. The voters
could free up that $9 million.
The voters have approved it. The sort of common knowledge was that Governor Brown didn't like Prop 51, and it got kind of pushed upon him, and so he was going to slow roll it. Right now, the backlog and bonds have just passed up and down the state at really high rates, and so now what you have actually is a backlog. And every time they sell one, and they just did a handful of months ago, as soon as they sell them, they're basically gone to the people who have already been in line from before, and then get that matching money back. So,
thank you, Mr. Hodson.
Thank you.
Any other questions or concerns? Thank you. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion approved by Mr. Davis. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Allison. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Seven yes. Dr. Starkey?
Bless you.
Two items. Now that you're awake. Earlier you met the top candidate for the Director of Purchasing. I'd now like to introduce the Director of Purchasing for Marysville Joint Unified, Brian Horn. Brian. Thank you. And before you leave, every single board member needs to go and see Lisa. I'm going to block the door and not allow your exit. So please, before you leave, please see Lisa to sign a document.
Thank you, Dr. Starkey, and thank you all. Meeting adjourned.
You did.